Welcome, everybody, to episode 26 of the CCB Health and Fitness Program. Are you feeling a little under the pressure? Under the pressure? What does that even mean? Oh, I need more coffee. Anyways, stick with me. It gets better. Episode 26. We're going to talk about blood pressure today. All right, everybody, and welcome. I am your host, Ryan Van Praat, and this is episode 26 of the CCB Health and Fitness Show. And you saw there, I was trying to be a little bit witty. Should stick to my day job. I'm not funny. Nobody finds me funny. I apologize. Anyhow, today we're going to talk about pressure, blood pressure. This is really a really important topic that I don't think I've covered much in the past. And it's something that, you know, I often ask people when we get into our one-on-one coaching calls, and I ask them a lot about, you know, what their blood pressure is like. Are they on any particular medications? And oftentimes you get the response that, no, my blood pressure is fantastic. That's awesome, you would think. Well, the key is to dive a little deeper and actually find out, is it fantastic? And oftentimes you're finding that people are on a whole bunch of medications that make, and I'm using the word make, their blood pressure fantastic, but there's an artificial bias there, right? Your body is created to be this awesome, naturally functioning machine. And as we get older, and due to genetics and due to lifestyle and due to a whole bunch of things, you know, we break down and we get a little wonky and we need some things to help us out. The analogy is often used, you know, think of your body like a car. When it's brand spanking new, everything's working great. And then as you get older and as the car gets older, things start to fall apart and you need to do that regular maintenance to keep things rolling along nicely. Essentially, that's the case with lifestyle management. And that's what we're aiming to do here at the Health and Fitness Program is really, you know, we can put out a one day sporting activity and say, hey, this is an awesome experience, and that's great. And you might get through it. And then 2 days later, you're incredibly sore. And that's fine. Well, you're not really getting anything out of it. You're getting that experience. But again, consider the car analogy. You can take an old car that's maybe not running so well and push it to its limit for one day. But it's the aftermath of that that actually, you know, is what we're trying to consider. So, you know, if you take your body, which maybe isn't working as well as it should, yeah, you can test it out and push it for one day, but really that doesn't give you a great indication that your body is actually in good shape, right? A lot of people will take that one day of going out and riding the tandem bike or going and, you know, playing some flag football or going out and golfing 18 holes or whatever, you know, something they haven't done in a really long time. And they'll say, well, I got through it. I was able to do it. So I must be in okay shape. Yeah. I mean, again, silver lining in the cloud. That's great that you can do that. But ultimately, how do you feel afterwards? Are you completely beat for the next week? And also, you know, that still doesn't give us an indication of how things are going. And that's where it comes along with blood pressure medications and other medications that we have to keep us chugging along. Now, full disclosure here, or full disclaimer, medications are awesome, right? I can't even imagine our lifespan without it. And even people who have fantastic lifestyle habits and eat well and exercise well and, you know, do amazing in terms of trying to maintain their healthy lifestyle, there's still some that need all these medications. So I want to put out there that taking medications is not a failure. It's not a criticism. It's not a judgment. What we're trying to aim to today is just let you be aware of, you know, what role the medications may have in your blood pressure, and how you can try to slowly tweak your body to do these things naturally. So again, these medications are amazing. They help lower our blood pressure. They help keep our blood sugars under control, keep our cholesterol under control. You know, our mental state. There's a lot of medications out there that keep us mentally healthy, etc. There's pain medications that take the edge off, etc. But my philosophy here and my goal here is to help you help your body do as many of these things naturally as possible. So I think one of the big keys we can start off with is blood pressure. You know, I'm not going to get too much into the cholesterol side of things. I mean, that's a topic maybe for the nutrition discussion. I hope to have a colleague of mine who's a diabetes educator on. She's going to have way more knowledge about that than I will. I mean, even I worked in that field for many years, but again, she lives it as a type 1 diabetic, and she's just amazing educator. So I'm not going to try to reinvent the wheel there. So that's something to look forward to down the line. But one area I did work in for many, many years, I started off my career in kinesiology and sort of ended my professional career in a healthcare setting, was in cardiac rehab and secondary prevention. So essentially what it was taking individuals who, for a variety of reasons, have had a cardiac event. And it was one of 10 cardiac events that would put you in this category. And essentially it's anything from angina, so having regular chest pains, which is an indicator of, you know, your heart not getting a regular or a proper amount of oxygen, all the way up to, you know, heart attacks and quadruple bypasses, and just, you know, the full on, you know, you're barely, or you're lucky to be alive kind of situation. And my job was, once this had happened to them and they were cleared by their doctor, was they would come in and we would put them through their paces gently for 6 months, twice a week of physical activity at a local fitness facility. Also along with that would be health education. So it was a lot about the actual activity, but it was also about teaching them how their body functions and how regular exercise, proper eating, would help maintain their body and help improve their situation. And also educating them on, again, how their blood pressure would work. So every time they would come in before their exercise, we would take their blood pressure to establish kind of a baseline. And every time they left, we would take it again and we would record this. And what you would see are a few things. One, people at the beginning, they would come in and they're like, well, my blood pressure is fine. And you would take it and it might be like 135/80, and that's, you know, and that's okay. It's a tiny bit high, but that's okay. And they would say, well, see, this is amazing, it's perfectly fine. Well, then you would go through their list of medications with them, and you would see they're on 4 or 5 different blood pressure medications. And you silver lining in the cloud, you say, okay, look, you're here, you're doing the work, this is fantastic, but you see how many medications you're on, and they're all working to control that blood pressure and control how hard the heart works and how the arteries function. So our job here is, through education and through exercise, is to help your body learn how to do this by itself. And an awesome side effect of that would be, at the end of the 6-month program, they might be off one or two of the medications. Rarely, but sometimes they would be off all of their blood pressure medications, because you know, they really adopted that healthy lifestyle and they made great changes, and their body has learned to control blood pressure really well. And those often would come with the individuals that had really poor lifestyle habits, and changing their diet and their exercise was the main factor in lowering that blood pressure. So that's one thing we really saw. And the other thing you would see is, with the baseline intake and outtake blood pressures, you would see this gradual, you know, if we charted it, you would see this gradual decline. And so you would see their intake blood pressures getting lower and lower. You'd see their outtake blood pressures getting lower and lower. And with that, you would actually get symptoms. So one of the things with blood pressure is, you know, and I use the word air quote, professionals say, because nobody's ever really fully agreed on the best blood pressure, but essentially, you know, that 120/80 mark is kind of the ballpark. And yeah, I would say that still probably reigns true. Some healthcare professionals say that the lowest blood pressure you can maintain being asymptomatic is ideal. So basically means the lower the blood pressure, the better, without feeling dizzy or lightheaded or woozy. You know, that's kind of a razor's edge. So, you know, pushing somebody to be that low in a blood pressure is, we don't need to do that. But what would happen is, in the cardiac rehab program, individuals eventually, in their intake even, they would come in and they'd like, you know, I just feel kind of tired and I just don't feel I have the energy and I kind of feel a little dizzy. And we go, okay, you know, we'd monitor that. And then during exercise, or the latter stages of exercise, you know, actually during the exercise, they'd feel generally pretty fine. And I'll explain that in a second. But in the outtake, when they sat down after their hour of exercise, you know, so they would build up to that. Initially, they would be there for maybe 10, 15 minutes. But after the 6 months, they'd be doing an hour worth of treadmill or bicycling. And they would sit down and we'd take their blood pressure and they would be feeling kind of crappy. And we'd take their blood pressure and their blood pressure would be really low. It might be like 90 over 60. And this is a person who normally ran at like a 140 over 85, right? And so these are drastic changes. So what is happening here is your body is learning, or their body was learning and adapting and controlling the blood pressure on its own. And so the medications they were on were becoming an overload. Okay. And so this is the model. This is the desire of what we're trying to accomplish here with the health and fitness program is to prove to you that this happens, right? So if you think, or if you're under the impression that your blood pressure is fine and perfect, and I use that in air quotes, you know, I want you to have that discussion with your doctor and say, well, how many blood pressures are my blood pressure medications am I actually on? And what do they actually do? And have that conversation with your doctor to say, you know, if I exercise more and properly, will I be able to actually reduce the amount of blood pressure medications that I'm on? And most likely that's going to be the case. Blood pressure medications are designed to do a handful of things, and it's been 5 or 6 years since I've been directly involved with the medications, but essentially you can do a number of things. You can use medications to change the viscosity or the thickness of your blood. So the thinner the blood, it does a number of things. Obviously it helps prevent clotting and clogging of the arteries. But also it changes how thick the fluid is that's getting pumped. So the thinner the fluid, generally the easier it is on your heart to actually pump that blood through your body. So that's one thing a medication can do. Another, it can control the elasticity of your arteries. And we're going to talk about that here in a second when I actually talk about how blood pressure is working. Another is it can control how fast your heart muscle itself beats, right? So there's a lot of, you know, I often equate it to a limiter switch on a car, or like a kid's, we grew up on a farm, we had like ATVs and you could put a limiter switch. So, you know, if a kid rode it, it could only go so fast. And your body, that's what's happening with a lot of these medications, right? So if you're working out appropriately and you're changing your diet appropriately, you can naturally work on changing the viscosity of your blood, right? You can naturally keep it thinner and healthier and keep it from clogging up the arteries. Also, you can naturally improve the elasticity of your arteries and make them more elastic and more capable of dealing with pressure. And then you can also increase the strength of your cardiac muscle so that with every beat of your cardiac muscle, you have a higher stroke volume. So essentially, with every pump of that muscle, you're pushing out more blood per beat, right? Your heart's becoming stronger and more efficient, essentially. So hopefully you're following me with that, right? So these are all things that you can work to improve naturally, all the things that these blood pressure medications are doing. So I really encourage you to take that step back and say, okay, my blood pressure might be okay, but is it okay naturally or is it okay somewhat artificially? And we just want to look at it as a teeter-totter. If we can get the body to do this more naturally and take care of itself like it was designed to do, and put less and less importance on the medications, then ultimately it's just a better situation, right? You're obviously going to be in better shape and better longevity and better health if your body could do these things naturally, and you're going to save the hassle and the expense and all that stuff of taking all these medications. So again, take what you can from this podcast, learn what you can, but have these conversations with your doctor. Do not, I repeat, do not stop taking your medications, right? Do not say, well, Ryan said on the podcast that I should stop taking my medications and just go exercise more. No, no, no. I'm saying exercise will allow the body to hopefully rely less on these medications. But this is a process and it happens, and I've witnessed it numerous times, but there's certainly something you want to discuss with your doctor. Okay. We're good. Good. Okay. So blood pressure. Okay. What is blood pressure? How does this work? And you know, I always am sort of the king of analogies. I always try to explain things in terms of, you know, how I visualize it, but how you can potentially visualize it as well. Okay. And I will not try to get too in depth into this. And if you have more specific questions, you know, ask me, reach out to me. There are lots of YouTube videos and very good descriptors, but I'm going to try to give you a bit of an analogy. So you think of your body as, you know, your brain is the control center. It's the battery, right? It sends out the electrical signals, which control everything in your body. You know, your motor neurons, so the things that make your muscles go, your sensory neurons, the things that make you feel, your autonomic nervous system. So basically your heart beats and you breathe without even thinking about it, right? There's this system that just lets you exist essentially. That's your brain, right? And your heart is kind of the engine, right? It's the thing that pumps the fuel, pumps the blood around your body. And blood is obviously essential for everything, right? It carries the nutrients, it carries the energy in blood sugars. It carries the oxygen, which helps in the metabolism to create that energy. It's essential, right? So we want to take care of that engine. We want to make that engine strong and efficient. So if you think of your heart as, well, it is the strongest muscle in the body, right? It's probably the size of a male human fist, I believe. And it's got four chambers, okay? And try to bear with me, and we'll try to make this as simple as possible. So your one side of your heart pushes blood out to your entire body. It pushes oxygenated blood. So it pushes blood that's full of oxygen all the way out to your body, pushes it to your brain. So your brain can function, pushes it all the way down to the tips of your fingers, tips of your toes, everywhere, right? Then that oxygen that's in your blood gets sucked up into the muscles, into the tissues, and is used there for keeping them alive and the metabolism and creating energy. So the blood, devoid of oxygen, having no oxygen left, is now pumped back up to your heart, and where it is then sent off to your lungs to get oxygen. So it's this big loop, okay? So let's go through that again. So the left side of your heart, so put out your left hand, it's basically that left side of your heart, is full of blood that has a ton of oxygen. Okay, so we'll go even a little bit more in depth here. So your left ventricle, the bottom part of the left part of your heart, is full of oxygenated blood, all the awesomeness of oxygen. That's pushed out all the way down to your toes, all the way up to your fingers, up to your brain, etc. That oxygen in the blood is taken up by the tissues, and now the blood comes all the way back up through your veins. So it's sent out through arteries, it comes back all the way up through your veins, and dumps into the right atrium, so the top right-hand part of your heart. From there, it's pushed down to the right ventricle. So the right ventricle pushes that blood, still devoid of oxygen, pushes it out to your lungs, right? Now, within your lungs, what's happening? Well, you've just sucked in a whole bunch of oxygen by breathing. That oxygen goes all the way down into the little tiny cells of your lungs, where it meets up with the blood that's empty. It dumps all that oxygen into the blood. That blood now comes back in, dumps into the top left-hand side of your heart, your left atrium, dumps down into your left ventricle, and then that process is repeated again, okay? Hopefully that makes sense. So that's how the engine works. That's the loop, right? Well, within any sort of machine and engine, everything has its tolerances, and your body's the same, right? We want to make sure that there's an appropriate amount of pressure to push things out, but not too much. So your heart is a very strong muscle, and your arteries, which are the tubes that push the blood or carry the oxygenated blood out to your heart, are often under a lot of pressure because your heart has to press very hard and contract very hard to push all that blood out. All right, but there's an optimal amount, and that's that 120/80. So we want our arteries to be very strong, but very elastic. So the analogy I use here is think of your arteries as a garden hose. If you've ever picked up an old garden hose that's, you know, kind of rotten and kind of crunchy, and you bend it and it cracks and it's not, and it's very stiff, right? Well, it's very susceptible to leaks. If you push a whole bunch of water through that, you're going to spring leaks, right? And if that garden hose is old and unhealthy and not very stretchy, it's not going to be in good shape. So if you think of your arteries that same way, as kind of that old crusty garden hose that is not elastic, and you try to push a lot of pressure through that, what's going to happen? Well, a couple of things are going to happen. One, you have the possibility of springing a leak, right? You can break the hose and water's going to go everywhere. Same could happen in your arteries, right? Those arteries that are meant to carry that pressurized oxygenated blood out to your body, if they're not healthy, they could spring a leak, right? Also, what could happen? Well, if you've got an old garden hose, it's not very elastic. When things aren't very elastic, the stuff just kind of sits in there, right? So the gunk could sit in that garden hose. And you know yourself, take an old garden hose, push a whole bunch of water through it, and you can see coming out the other ends all this dirt and this gunk, right? So same thing with your arteries. If your arteries are not elastic and you start trying to push too much pressure through it, you're going to start kind of pushing off and chipping off all the gunk that's in your arteries, right? And that's where strokes can happen and blood clots, etc. So that's more incentive to have a healthy set of arteries, right? A healthy vascular system. Okay, so I hope that kind of makes sense. So more reason to have a good strong heart through exercise, a good strong set of arteries through exercise as well. And veins are the same idea as well. They have blood coming back through them, but they're far less pressurized, okay? So now we get into the actual pressure. What you hear when you hear blood pressure, you hear 120 over 80, okay? That's the number everybody hears. So what that is, that's called the systolic pressure is the 120. The diastolic pressure is the 80, right? So systolic is the top number, diastolic is the bottom number. The way to think about that is the 120 is the pressure on your artery walls when your heart beats and pushes that blood out to your body. So when your heart squeezes and pushes a whole bunch of blood out, it's going to be at a higher pressure, right? It needs to get that blood out there. So that's that 120, and that's the pressure on your artery walls. Now, when your heart is in between beats and the blood is coming back into the heart, you still have pressure on the walls of the veins, but that's going to be less, right? Because it's on its way back to the heart. So that's your diastolic. That's, let's say, your 80. So what you want to visualize here is there's an ideal amount of pressure, right? And in order to accommodate that pressure, your blood vessels ideally are going to be nice and elastic. If you have a nice fresh garden hose that's kind of stretchy and new, you can push a whole bunch of water through that and it's going to accommodate. It'll stretch out a little bit, and then when you turn off the water, it'll kind of contract a little bit and relax, right? That's what we want with our blood vessels. We want, when there's a bunch of pressure coming through, we don't want them to be super stiff and crack. When a lot of pressure comes through, we want them to expand and accommodate that pressure. Then when there's no water or no blood flowing through, we want them to be able to relax, right? So another way to think about it is if you put a balloon up to your mouth and you blow air into that balloon stretches to accommodate the air, and then it relaxes to basically relax, right? It needs to relax, and your lungs essentially do the same thing. So that's what blood pressure is, right? A healthy blood vessel is able to be elastic. It's able to expand and then relax in between heartbeats, okay? So if you had 200 over 100, well, essentially that's saying there's a ton of pressure going out to your body, and your blood vessels, even a healthy blood vessel, that's just too much pressure to withstand regularly, right? And something's got to give, right? You're going to have an aneurysm. You're going to blow out you know, you blow out a blood vessel, you could start pushing blood clots through your body, etc. And then that 100 essentially means that even when your heart is in between beats and the blood's coming back, your artery is still so stiff, it can't relax, right? So it's just this, the best way is, again, think of that super stiff garden hose. And it's just, nobody would ever say, hey, that garden hose looks in great shape when it's old and crusty and stiff, right? So that's what we want to accomplish with our exercise, with our proper diet, is creating that healthy, strong heart, but also those very healthy and pliable and flexible blood vessels. Now, ways to not have those things be so healthy, obviously eating really poorly and clogging up those arteries with plaques and fatty deposits, right? That narrow up the hose, essentially making the amount of volume that hose can carry, the amount of volume that artery can carry, to be less, right? So you make the tube smaller, well, then even that same amount of blood going through it's going to make the pressure higher, right? So clogging them up with poor diet, smoking, right? Smoking is a huge, 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 huge factor in really having diseased arteries and heart muscle. It just, the toxins, the tar, the gunk, it just makes the blood vessels very brittle, very inelastic, very unhealthy, right? So stopping smoking is one of the best things you could ever do if you are a smoker. Other ways, having high blood sugar. So again, we'll come back with when we have our diabetes educator. Having a high blood sugar content is basically causing inflammation within the blood vessels, which makes them more sticky, which makes them more susceptible to clogging up. So lots of ways to make the blood vessels unhealthy, but there's lots of ways to make them healthier through regular exercise, cardiovascular exercise, like we said, the running, the walking, the swimming, the stuff that gets that heart beating and keeps it elevated for a longer period of time. Because what you're trying to do is you're trying to make that heart muscle stronger, but you're also trying to make those blood vessels stronger and more elastic. And the good news is, even if you've been a smoker for a really long time and you have poor lifestyle habits, you can work on this and the heart will adapt. The heart will get stronger. The blood vessels will get more elastic. Things will turn around. Okay. Excuse me. So I really wanted to cover that today. I hope you guys sort of follow along with how important your heart muscle is and how important those blood vessels are and how important it is to have healthy blood vessels. Okay. Yes, there's genetics. Yes, there's things that, you know, you might just be behind the eight ball regardless of how well you do. But I always think of it as a law of averages. If on most days I'm being healthy and I'm trying to do what's best for my body and my heart, it's going to learn to do that naturally, strongly, more efficiently, and I'm going to rely less and less on various medications. Okay. So hope you followed along with that. If you have any questions, let me know. Again, have those discussions with your doctor. It's incredibly important to get out there, get out for regular physical activity, eat properly, which we're going to cover in another upcoming episode, and just, you know, marvel at the awesomeness that is the human body and how it can take care of itself and adjust itself if you just give it a little bit of help. Okay. So have an awesome day. That is episode 26. If you're feeling the blood pressure, have that conversation with your doctor, get out, get some exercise in, reach out to me if you have specific questions and we'll get you back on track. But, your body's pretty awesome. Do your best to take care of it and, it'll take care of you for a really long time. Have an awesome day, everybody. We'll talk again soon.